Good morning. And happy Palm Sunday. Did you know this was Palm Sunday? And here's why it's Palm Sunday, because we're starting a new sermon series this week about entering the passion of Jesus, the risks of Holy Week. And so Pastor Heather Dorr will be giving us a message this morning to begin that series. And we're thinking about the last week of Jesus all throughout the season of Lent in preparation for Easter and the celebration of his resurrection. And so to do that, like I say, our study works. I mean, we've got all the small groups. There are study books outside of both lobby areas. You're welcome to take one. Our groups will be studying this in addition to what happens on Sunday morning. So it's one of our sermon series that we do each year, so we can be coordinated as a church. So in order to fit the lesson time, that's why we're beginning with Holy Week now, Saturday, or the Holy Sunday. And then we'll continue out the whole progression of that last week of Christ throughout this Lenten season. I want to share, so I'm Tom Carver, the senior pastor, and excited to be with you this morning. I want to share the announcements for today. The ushers will have some attendance greeting pads that we invite you to sign and pass down. Like I say, we're enjoying the palms. If you hadn't received one, just raise your hand. The ushers will bring you a palm as well. You're welcome to take them home if you like today, or you can leave them for the next service. For our announcements this morning, our Stewards of Creation group, that we're really wanting to be a green church and be involved in helping preserve our planet. Each month we have a different challenge, a way for the congregation to preserve our planet and care for our environment. And this month that challenge is to do a home energy audit, just to go through your home to see insulation on your water heater, to look at, you know, LED light bulbs. I mean, all kinds of ways that we can make our homes energy efficient. So that's your challenge, your assignment, to do an energy audit in your home. Next announcement I want to talk about is next Sunday. Two things. Next Sunday is spring forward, the end or the beginning of daylight savings time. So you'll want to set your clocks ahead, just a reminder about that. But also we'll be observing Scout Sunday. And so we've got a number of Boy Scout packs and troops that we support in the church. We'll honor those folks next week. They'll help out with worship. So we'll want you to come and be aware of that and support our scouting ministry. And then you'll see, hooray, the new photo directories are here. So they're in the office, and I believe you can pick them up there. But if you had your picture taken, it'll be in there. If you didn't have your picture taken, there's older pictures for some folks that are in there. But it's a good way to kind of just remind or to know who we are as a congregation. The last thing is we're going to, in a few moments, greet one another. And we do want to be in solidarity and sympathy, but also aware of the situation worldwide with the coronavirus. And it's also flu season. So I do want to encourage you today just to be mindful of that. And instead of maybe shaking hands today, you can elbow bump. You can give a thumbs up. You can give a sign of respect or peace that way. But again, just to be sensitive to that. And Pastor Heather will have some additional instructions when we take communion later this morning as well. So with that, this is a great day to be together. I invite you to take a moment to reflect and just gather yourselves. The choir will give us a Palm Sunday introit. And then as we sing the opening hymn, wave your palm branches and recognize this is the beginning of Palm Sunday. So I want to say, do you want to make an additional announcement, Linda, or just a... Yes, just a reminder that we've got the books out in the narthex that all of our groups are able to study Entering the Passion of Jesus. It's going to be a good study as we're serious about what Jesus did to give his life for us in that last week. So I invite you to gather your thoughts now and prepare for worship.
Thank you.
Will you please stand and join with me in our call to worship? Give thanks to the Lord because he is good, because his faithful love lasts forever. The Lord is for me, I won't be afraid. What can anyone do to me?
The Lord is my strength and protection. He will not save me.
This is the Lord's gate. Those who are righteous enter through it. Open the gates of righteousness for me, so that I can come in and give thanks to the Lord. Unison prayer. Let us pray. Jesus, you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and yet your triumphal entry into Jerusalem was on the back of a humble donkey. You risked your reputation to show us the power of meekness and humility. Help me to set aside my privileges and invite others to join in the celebration of your great name. Jesus, amen. As Jesus entered in Jerusalem, we want to continue that now as we offer to one another signs of God's love and peace through fist bumps and shoulder things and elbow things and give it some of these. So let's share with one another all kinds of creative ways to share God's peace. See, wasn't that fun? Aren't you glad you're here? We want to share some time, good news with one another, but also sharing of the joys and concerns that we have as a congregation and individual members. And the ushers have some microphones that if you have a joy, a concern, something like that you would like to share with the rest of us, just raise your hand or stand up and we'll bring it to you so that we can all pray for you, support you, also rejoice with you in the various things that we know about for today. Are there things that you'd like to share with the congregation this morning?
Hello, Charles Bauer. We're thankful that Marie finally feels well enough to come to the church service, and we're thankful for all the prayers that she's had. Thank you.
I'm Patty Glass. I just wanted to say, I don't know what's been said in recent weeks because we've been in sunny Arizona, but we're home for a week, and last night Ann Otteson picked us up at the airport. And I just wanted to ask for your prayers and concerns for she and Ralph. Ralph goes to the doctor 2 weeks from tomorrow and hopefully gets this huge apparatus off his foot. But it's very confining for Ann. She has to be there at his beck and call, and it's a lot of togetherness. But she's doing well, and he's in good spirits, but he has to use a wheelchair all the time, and so he's not getting out very much. But just keep them in your prayers. Maybe send a card of
thanks, Patty. Yeah, Ralph and Ann Otteson. Ralph had some major surgery or things on his leg, foot, that's been causing him to be homebound. So Ann, a good caretaker. They both need prayers. But just prayers for healing, and they'll be back at it soon. You know, next week will be Scout Sunday. That's really been a passion for Ralph's all this time, too. So I know it's hard for him not to be involved with that. But we want to pray for Ralph and Ann. Any others?
Yes. Hi, Erica Caswell, and I just asked for prayers for my mom's family as they had an unexpected passing of her cousin Larry yesterday from a heart attack. He's pretty young, so.
Okay, thanks, Erica. For Pat's brother, cousin, yeah. Prayers for a loss, a sudden heart attack. Okay. Any others? I do want to lift up, many of you know Patrick Malloy was our director of youth ministries for some time. Today is actually the 7th anniversary of the passing of his father. If some of you might have remembered Patrick's father, it's been 7 years ago today that he passed away. And this week he goes before the Iowa Conference Board of Ordained Ministry to talk with them about his commissioning as an elder. And so that's one of the, a deacon, thank you, yeah. His commissioning as a deacon in the life of the United Methodist Church. That's one of the processes you go through to be prepared for that. And so it's both a good process, but can be a stressful one as well, as the board will give guidance on how he should best proceed. So we want to, just so proud of Patrick, but be in prayer for him as he meets with the board this week in preparation for his deacon's orders. Anything else? You know, we've been having fun about shaking hands and so on, but it really is a serious worldwide situation with the coronavirus. We have a daughter in Colorado who is getting ready to visit our daughter in Laos, had plane tickets, and just thinking through, like, maybe that's not such a good idea at this point. So going, just prayers for you know, that's a minor thing to try to get that money back or whatever, but for many people, both economy-wise and otherwise, we need to be supportive of one another. And just prayers for that we'll get through this, and we will, but just how we can all support each other in a worldwide situation. It really demonstrates how we are one world, and we are so interconnected. And what happens in one place really has the potential to affect us all. So that's one of the things I'm so proud to be a part of the United Methodist Church, where our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the whole world. And so that's who we want to care for today. Anything else? Well, would you join with me then, a time of prayer as we lift these joys and concerns? And then we're not going to say the Lord's Prayer at this time because we'll say it later on when we have communion later this morning. And as part of a tradition, we're actually going to sing the Lord's Prayer later on this morning as a part of our communion liturgy. So if you would, we'll have a word from a time of a silent prayer. And then the choir will also help us in this time. Well, we're going to sing Stay With Me, a prayer hymn, this prayer hymn, please. Most holy, loving, and gracious God, we thank you today for this time to rejoice, to celebrate, to remember Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, and also how you want us to care for the people around us still. We pray for those who are needing healing and comfort after the loss of a loved one. We pray especially for Ann and Ralph. We remember the families of those who've lost a loved one recently, and also those who just recall the loss of a loved one for like Patrick, even on an anniversary date. We just know that even in our losses, there is hope and there is comfort that we can find in you. God, we pray for Thanksgiving as well, for all the blessings that you've given to us, for a chance here to worship today, for health and strength and ability to go as we use our freedom. And most of all, we thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus and for the love that you've shared with us through him. With that, we can face all the challenges that lie ahead. With your spirit, we can try to make a difference in this world in small ways, but also the potential for small things to have a ripple effect, to have a huge impact. In all of it, dear God, we just pray for your guidance, and we look for you to use our lives to bring your healing and hope to all the situations that we've just prayed about right now. In all of it, we do it through the name and the power and the strength of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So for our first scripture reading, I want to turn to Zechariah, one of the Old Testament prophets. And this is a reference to verses 8 through 10. Zechariah, again, a time before Jesus, one of the 12 minor prophets in the Old Testament. But Zechariah is talking about rejoicing greatly and gives this image of Jerusalem. Rejoicing that comes to mind when we think of Jesus coming into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. So I'm going to read verses 8 through 10, and you can follow along with me in your pew Bibles or the Bible if you brought from home. Again, this is the Old Testament prophet Zechariah, and here is what he says beginning in verse 8. Then I will encamp at my house as a guard, so that no one shall march to and fro. No oppressor shall again overrun them, for now I have seen with my own eyes. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. This is the word of God for the people of God. So I'd like to invite the children to come forward. We're going to sing again a verse of Sing Hosanna. And the kids come up for Pastor's Heather story time with her.
See each other. I'm going to sit down right here and let's be in kind of a circle. All right, so I've got like a little bowl of rocks. I do. Do you want to pick out a rock? Pick out whichever one you want. Everyone gets one. They're kind of all similar but different. All right, so when you got your rock, I want you to put it up to your ear and I want you to see if you hear anything. You don't hear anything? Try the other ear. Well, in the Bible story that I'm going to read here in a few minutes, it says that Jesus entered Jerusalem and his friends were waving palm branches like we just waved, right? And they were singing, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. They put their coats down. They were celebrating. Well, there were people that were really excited that Jesus came into Jerusalem, and there were some people that were not excited that Jesus came into Jerusalem, and they weren't excited about all these people getting worked up and waving branches and, oh, palm branches just like that, yeah, and putting down their coats and all the noise that they were making. So they said to Jesus, they said, make your friends stop. Tell them to be quiet. And what Jesus said, and I want you to listen for when I say it in a few minutes, Jesus said, if they were quiet, even the stones would call out. So listen again. Do you hear the stones calling out praises? Did anybody hear anything? No? I think that means you guys did your job well. I think that means that the church did a good job of praising God, both this morning and all the time. So when do we praise God?
Sunday.
Sunday at church. We can do it all throughout the week. We can sing songs. We can tell God how much we love God when we pray. And so if we do our job well, then we won't hear any rocks making any weird noises. So I want to remind you to do your job well and to praise God. Because if you don't, creation's still going to praise God. All right, so if everybody wants to take, you can take your rock and you can also take one of these crosses. These crosses were made from dried up palm branches. So the palms that you were waving this morning, somebody took some of those and dried them up and then folded them into the shape of a cross. So you could take these home and with your rock and your cross, remember that is your job, your important duty, to praise God every day, to offer prayers to God every day, to come to worship on Sundays or other times. And you got to do your job, because if you don't, even the rocks are going to take over your job. Can we pray? Can we pray? All right.
Dear God,
thank you so much for your son Jesus, who you sent to earth so he could save us. Help me to remember that it's my job to praise Jesus every single day and in every single way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, you guys can go sit down. Thank you. Our scripture reading for today comes from Luke's Gospel. All four Gospels have an account of Jesus entering Jerusalem. The account that's really highlighted in the book, if you're reading that, is Matthew's account. But I went and I read through all of them, and Luke's really jumped out at me. So that's why I wanted to share that one this morning. I think with these scripture readings, we have a Palm Sunday every year usually, and when we hear these same stories every year. So I invite you to try to hear it with new eyes, try to imagine a new possibility, notice things that you haven't noticed before as we look at the unique account that Luke has of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. So I'm going to read Luke 19, verses 28 through 40. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. While they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the ground. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Today we're beginning our Lenten sermon series using Dr. Amy Jill Levine's book, Entering the Passion of Jesus, as our jumping off point. We'll be looking at Jesus' last week of ministry in Jerusalem before his arrest, his trial, execution, death, and resurrection. And we're starting with Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. In this week's chapter, Dr. Levine references a very fun 1964 musical, Hello, Dolly. Some of you may have seen the 1969 movie with Barbra Streisand. Or younger members of the congregation might recognize the songs and the scenes that were used in the 2008 Pixar film, WALL-E. This musical is about the story of the widow Dolly Gallagher Levi. She's a strong-willed matchmaker, and she sings in her opening song, "Just Leave Everything to Me." She's the type that's always three steps ahead of everyone else, and she's the driving force in the musical. She orchestrates everything to her liking. But interestingly enough, it isn't until the very end of the first act that we get what we call her "I Want" song. If you're a fan of musicals, you know that towards the beginning of the musical, the lead character usually has a song about what they want. What's their desire? What's their calling? Dolly realizes at the very end of the first act, after planning and scheming and bending the truth to make the world exactly the way that she wishes it to be, that something is missing in her life. She sings the beautiful song that Dr. Levine references in our book's first chapter. She sings, "Before it goes on and only I'm left, before the parade passes by, I gotta get in step while there's still time left. I'm ready to move out in front. Life without life has no reason or rhyme left. with the rest of them, with the best of them. I want to hold my head up high. I need a goal again. I need a drive again. I want to feel my heart come alive again before the parade passes by. Dolly Gallagher Levi is the woman of a million plans. She knows everyone. She knows what everyone wants before they even realize it. But she's lost herself. And in this song, she comes out of herself, she gets some perspective, and she realizes that she's ready for a new purpose, new meaning, and new love in her life. Have you ever felt like Dolly in this song? Have you ever felt like you're going through the motions, living the way you've always lived, oblivious to the greater world and what's happening in the parades passing by? Are you looking for a new purpose? The good news for you, friends, is that you were invited to spend the next 6 weeks observing a holy Lent, slowing down and looking around and being deliberate about what you are doing and the parades that you are joining. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, we know that there are so many things going on in this world, so many distractions, parades to join, things to see and enjoy. We ask that you help us to slow down, to be careful and deliberate about the use of our time and the use of our loyalty. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our gospel passage for today is the story of two parades, although you wouldn't know it from first read. It's the story of the parade that we find in Scripture and the story of a parade happening on the other side of town that doesn't get mentioned in Scripture. The first parade is Jesus entering Jerusalem. This isn't his first time coming into the holy city, but he comes in for the Jewish festival of the Passover, knowing full well that by the end of the week he will be wrongfully accused and executed by the state. You gotta admit that Jesus has a flair for the dramatic here. He's planning out how he's going to make this entrance into Jerusalem. He wants this one to stand out, to make a statement. Jesus had come into Jerusalem other times, and it was never with this much fanfare. Jesus meticulously chooses his mode of transportation. Unlike the beauty queens and business owners who prefer to ride in style in Corvettes in the parade, Jesus chooses a ride with much more humble origins. He picks a donkey, one that's been borrowed from the neighbors the next village over, so it isn't even his own property. Donkeys aren't majestic vehicles. They're simple, they're humble, they get the job done. Jesus is making a statement. He's referring back to the prophet Zechariah. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey. A king on a donkey. A humble beast for a humble ruler. I would say a donkey is better than walking, at least. Jesus is showing some kind of majesty with a special ride into town. And I've always liked the image of Jesus on a donkey. I think because for me, it parallels the image that we often have in our mind as we picture Jesus' mother, Mary, entering Bethlehem for his birth. There's no proof that Mary would have afforded a donkey for their journey or that she would have ridden one, but it's a very popular image. And when you place those two images side by side in your mind, they make very nice bookends in Luke's gospel. Jesus entering the city on a donkey is a stronger statement when you realize that another parade is going on the other side of town. The Roman governor Pontius Pilate was entering Jerusalem for the celebration of the Passover to make sure that things stayed orderly and subdued in the colony of Judea. After all, if you remember, the Passover was a festival celebrating the release of captives from slavery, the reminder of God setting God's people free and delivering them from an occupying government force. Rome wanted to keep a close eye on people remembering their past freedoms during a current occupation. So Pilate came to town, and he came on the back of a war horse. You can imagine this parade too, can't you? I don't think it'd be that different from when the U.S. presidents come through town for special meetings or rallies. Special personnel, tension and excitement in the air. The average person on tiptoes, hoping for a look at somebody important. Pilate's parade was also meticulously planned. It was to let everyone know the power of the Roman government, to display military prowess, and to remind everyone to keep their toe in line. Or else. Everyone knew that Pilate was coming to town. Maybe the crowds had started gathering before dawn for a good seat. Maybe parents were holding their young children close to make sure they didn't get trampled by one of the Roman army's magnificent steeds. This was a parade that people waited all year long to get to see. By comparison, Jesus' parade was a ragtag group making a mockery of the parade on the other side of town. Jesus, dusty from travel, didn't have anyone marching beside him, wielding impressive weapons or showing important power. He was all alone on the back of a borrowed donkey. There's nothing spectacular at first glance. I've always pictured a huge crowd cheering for Jesus, but Luke's gospel says that those watching the parade are the whole multitude of the disciples. Well, how many people is that? Is that 12 people, like the 12 disciples? Is it 120 people, the number who were gathered in the upper room at the beginning of the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost? We really don't know the number, but I can't imagine that an impromptu parade of a rebel rouser would be bigger than the planned magnificent parade of the Roman governor of the region. This is the story of two parades. And I think it begs us to ask the question, which parade are we following? And which parade are we letting pass us by? The Roman parade is flashier, it's shinier. It fills us with understandable awe at the sight of the majesty of the powers that be and what they wield in this world. We can understand the Roman parade because that's the way that we live nowadays. We know what it means to respect military triumph, power over the weak, bowing down out of fear for our lives, sitting down and shutting up. Most of the people are at the Roman parade. Most of the people are part of the parade that they know, that they understand, that they've heard talked about around town. Jesus' parade is smaller. It's not polished or well-styled. The crowds are smaller. They probably smell bad. And everything is being done on the fly. There's an air of unpredictability. No one quite knows how things are going to turn out with this Jesus fellow. And yet the crowds cry out and sing. They rejoice at the entrance of their Savior, the Son of David, who comes on a borrowed donkey.
Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. It doesn't make any worldly sense. Jesus doesn't look like the king of anything, let alone a king who comes in God's name. If you compare Jesus to Pilate, Jesus probably isn't who we would place our bets with. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. The crowd sees something that the others don't see. They see the majesty of this king on a humble donkey, a king who doesn't lord power over the people, but leads through compassion and kindness and humility and offering power to others. They see what the angels see at the beginning of Luke's gospel when they sing of the birth of a newborn king placed in a manger. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those he favors. Just as Jesus entered the world with the singing of God's glory and God's peace, he enters Jerusalem in the same way. All of creation sings of peace and glory. As Jesus tells the Pharisees, worried about the repercussions of this act of political theater and response to Pilate's parade, he says, "I tell you, if these people were silent, the stones would shout out." There's no blocking out the glory and the peace of God. There's no stopping Jesus' parade. All of creation sings the praises of the Savior, no matter how many people are at this parade and no matter how many are at the parade on the other side of Jerusalem. So what does this have to do with us? We stand at the beginning of the season of Lent, a 40-day period when we are urged to return to God, to turn away from the things that are distracting us, to grow in closer relationship with our Savior. And I think that the story of the triumphal entry makes us really stop and evaluate. Before the parade passes by, before we waste our lives focusing on things that don't matter, on the busy work of our lives, what parade are we going to join? Who are we going to follow and cheer for? Will it be Pilate or Jesus? Will it be the parade of the establishment of power, of fear, or will it be the grassroots uprising of humility and God's glory? How will we spend this season of Lent? Where will we focus our attention? Make no mistake, Jesus took a risk in entering Jerusalem this way. He was making his intentions clear about who he was and what kind of leader he would be. He was telling them he would not be about power over, he would not be about military triumph, he would not be popular or well understood. And if we leave Pilate's parade, we will be risking our own reputation. People won't see us in the same way anymore. We might not enjoy comfortable privileges, the esteem of others, or our prime seat. It's risky to join in the parade of Jesus. It's risky to lay it on the line and admit that our allegiance is with a humble Savior who comes to give his life for others, to show a quieter way of leading others, who comes in peace and comes to spread God's glory and not his own glory. People won't see you in the same way anymore when you admit which parade you want to be a part of. So I invite you to consider on this first Sunday of Lent that for the next 40 days you have a choice to make. Will you follow the parade of Pilate, the parade of Jesus, or will you just let the parade pass you by? It's your decision to make, and it will determine how you can spend this season of Lent in prayer and in growth. A few days after entering Jerusalem, Jesus sat down for the Passover meal with his disciples, and he again did something unexpected. He instituted a new meal of liberation and freedom. We will remember that meal today as we come to the Lord's table and share together in the Lord's Supper. I invite you to turn in your hymnals or follow along on the screen as we share together in this meal of remembrance, peace, and glory. This morning, as we take communion, we're going to do two things different, just as health precautions. Later on, the ushers will invite you to come down the center aisle, and they'll tell your aisle when you can leave your pew and come down the center aisle. And as you step out of your pew, I invite you to have your hands out and receive a squirt of hand sanitizer. So everybody's going to get some hand sanitizer on their way out of the pew today, so you'll have a moment to rub it in and get your hands nice and sanitized before you come up for communion. You'll be coming up the center aisle, and there'll be two stations on either side, and we do communion by intinction here at Asbury, which means that we break off a piece of bread and hand it to you, and you can dip it in the cup. I invite you to take your hands like this. Do it right now. Receive the communion like this rather than take the communion from our fingers. I actually think it's theologically really good, and sanitation-wise, it's also good. So be open to receive the gift that God gives you through communion, and then you could dip it in the cup, and you could take time up here at the altar if you'd like to pray before returning to your seats by the outside aisle.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth, you formed us into your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. In the days of Noah, after 40 days and 40 nights of rain, you made covenant with every living creature on earth. In the days of Moses, you led your people to Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights and made us your covenant people. When your people forsook your covenant, your prophet Elijah fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and on your holy mountain, he heard your still small voice. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. We cry out to your Son once again, Hosanna, save us. Jesus took risks in his final week, risking reputation, righteous anger, challenge, rejection, the loss of friends, and temptation. We take risks when we follow Jesus, and yet we still cry out, Hosanna, save us. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup. He gave it to his disciples and said, Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen. And now with the confidence of the children of God, let us join in our Lord's Prayer together. And during this season of Lent, we're going to sing our Lord's Prayer. Prepared. I'll invite those that are assisting us in serving communion to come forward at this time. We will have a gluten-free elements here in the center of the church. If you need that, just indicate that. You can receive those. And you'll note that as you come forward, if you have your morning offering for the church, you can bring that and just place it in the offering plates that are at the beginning of each pew. Let us now receive the sacrament of Holy Communion. You're invited to come and share in this holy sacrament.
Okay, quick evaluation. I saw a lot of people didn't like the hand sanitizer. There were some faces. But I can say as a server, I loved what that you guys did this. That was great. So I don't know what we're going to do next month, but if you keep doing this, it made it really easy. So that was wonderful. All right, I invite you to stand for a blessing. So we've been talking this morning about parades, not letting anything pass us by. I actually really love this imagery of following Jesus being like a parade. And so I invite you to joyfully enjoy following Jesus. Enjoy being part of what Jesus is doing in the world like it's a parade. And if you get excited and you celebrate all that God is doing in your life, how can others not want to join that parade too and follow Jesus and see the ways that Jesus has saved you and can save them as well? I pray that you have a blessed week as you go out into the world to do justice, love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Peace be with you. Thank you.